Well, I lived in Lorain, Ohio, which is a small town outside of Cleveland, Ohio. We lived in a very tough area, and my father died when I was 8 years old. And because of the circumstances in the community, and it was a tough area, my mom had to make a decision on what she needed to do with me because I was beginning to get into some kind of trouble. It wasn't bad, but you could see the path. And she went to the church and talked to the church, what's a good thing to do. And they made a recommendation that she consider putting me into an orphanage. So she chose to put me into Parmadale Orphanage when I was at age 8. I didn't know exactly what was happening or what was going to happen, but it was at that moment where my life was completely changed. My mom, I had a little bag I carried out of the house, and my mom said, "Oh, you know, you'll probably come back." I thought I was going to come back, but I got in the car with these two guys and drove away, and I looked out the back window of the car and saw my house go, and then that was it. My life changed. I went into the orphanage at age 8. I was with all kinds of kids similar to me, and it was actually, while you think it was a very tough and bad thing, it was really a great thing. It was the beginning of my journey, of which I really, you know, cherish. It was difficult, but it was special. And so from that point on, I was at the orphanage for about 3 years, and then I ended up having a family that wanted to put me into be part of the foster family with them. So I went into a foster home, and it was at that time that I ended up having a great opportunity to go to a Catholic elementary school and then a Catholic high school, Cleveland St. Joseph High School. And that experience in itself changed my life also, because that was where some big transformations took place. When I originally went to the elementary school, for example, you know, in the orphanage, the toughest kid rules. So if someone says something to you or something, you can just punch them out and that's it. And even I had nuns that took care of us in the orphanage with all of us. And they say, "You want to duke it out, go downstairs, we'll put the gloves on." But I ended up going into the school, and with all these characteristics that I learned at the orphanage, or that was our culture, you know, I ended up getting in a fight, doing this, doing that, and got thrown out of school. And I couldn't understand why, but that was the culture I was in. And it was a culture I came from, going all the way back to when I was at my home in Lorain, Ohio. My dad married my mom, who was very young. There was a big difference in it. His first wife died, but he had 7 other children before me, and several of them were having trouble with the law and things like that. And that's what turned it around for me, to be able to go to the orphanage. But I came with that kind of street background into a very, you know, conservative community, and it took some time. Even my foster parents at one point felt that maybe it would be a good idea for you to go back to the orphanage. And I agreed. I wanted to go back to
the
orphanage.
So that's so interesting, because I think most people's idea about an orphanage would be that, oh, it would be a place you wouldn't want to have a child, mm-hmm. you know, have to grow up. But it sounds like you had a lot of positive experiences there.
I did. It was different, but, you know, I did have positive experiences there. It was tough.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of things emotionally that I think the nuns helped us get through. And there's just a different culture there that you grew up in and you learned from, and you did. I mean, you know, one example that I didn't even think about, you know, now that I look back on, you know, all of a sudden I lost my dad. Now I lost my home. Now I lost my mom. Now I lost everything. And the nuns picked up on that. I mean, they know that children come there with a lot of needs. And one thing, again, there were many, many things in my life that have changed my life and refocused my life. And this was one of them, when a nun took me aside and she says, "I want you to come with me." And she says, "I want you to write, have you had a chance to say goodbye to your dad?" And I thought, no, I didn't have a chance to say goodbye to my dad.
Did he die suddenly?
He died, yeah. He died of a heart attack and dropped, and that was it. And she says, "Well, I want you to write a final letter to your dad, a final thing." So I wrote a final letter, and she ended up putting it in a balloon and then let the balloon go so that it would go up, and then I would be able to deal with that.
And
that,
to say goodbye, to have some closure.
But I had no idea in me what I was dealing with. So I went back to the orphanage that I came from in Parmadale, and I looked at the kids there, and I looked at the environment, and I walked out, and I said, you know, dear God, I've been blessed with being in the orphanage. I've been blessed with a foster home, blessed with an education. I'm going to college. You know, someday I want to build a home for kids just like me. But I went to the orphanage and I said, you know what, I want to build a home for kids like me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I prayed and thought about it, and I did all these kinds of things to see. I did all kinds of service work to get me in that direction. But there was one other thing I needed to do that was pretty challenging for me, and that is I needed to resolve some things with my mom, which I haven't seen her, you know, ever since we left.
So she didn't visit you at the orphanage?
No,
you didn't have much contact?
Once or twice.
Okay.
But I understand later why. Okay. But I ended up going back to my home where I was. My mom had no phone, had nothing. Our family rented it for 100 years. I knocked on the door. I re-met my mother. I talked to her and I said, look, you know what? I'm going to put a phone in your house so we can stay in touch and things like that. And then I went back home. So then one night I said, you know what? I need to ask a question to my mother that I need an answer to. And there's no answer that would be able to allow me to feel good about it. So I called her and I said, Mom, why did you give me up? And she wasn't a sophisticated lady or had quick answers to things. She just talked right from the heart. And she says, I gave you up because I loved you more than I loved myself. And that in itself gave me a deep, deep message where I was concerned about how could a mother give up their child. And now I realized all those years that she wasn't part of my life and that she sacrificed for me to have a better life. And now I have a better life. And it was at that time I said, you know, it's time for me to give back. I had a person who isn't a big hero and, you know, gets all kinds of awards. This is a mother's love to sacrifice her life with her child to have her child be able to contribute back.
Yeah, and as you're telling that story, I'm thinking you were so brave to ask the question, because I think I don't know if there's a deeper question than that question when you think about mm-hmm. your story and being given up by your mother when you were a boy. Yeah. And I think for her to reveal to you how hard mm-hmm. it was, but that she really did love you so much, she was willing to sacrifice her relationship with you. But I'm sure as she looked at your older half-brothers, sisters, and didn't want you on the same path where some of them were struggling with the law. And And many people around the world today make that decision for children.
They make it all the time. And those are such heroes that they do that for their children. But that's what inspired me to be able to do something for others. At the same time, the one thing that I really wanted to happen to is I ended up getting my doctorate degree at Michigan State. And I thought, I'm going to invite my mother to come and see this. So my mother came to my graduation at Michigan State. She didn't have much, you know, so I bought her a new outfit, got her hair done and everything, and she went to the graduation, and she met my foster parents. And then she went back home, and, you know, and it was a pretty touching moment because it was a realization on her part that what she did made a difference. And on my part, to be able to let her know that she did make a difference. So Sunday night, I called her after she got home to make sure she got home okay. And I called her and I said, you know, Mom, I'm a teacher and I got a life insurance policy. And if something happens to me, I'll make sure you're taken care of. And she appreciated that. She said,
and she probably never expected it.
No.
Because you had, you know, left her life when you were a boy, and she probably just, you know, didn't have much expectation that you would be in touch, never mind really looking out for her and looking after her.
Yeah, and she would never imagine that. I mean, how would your life end up, the decision you made, end up having your son say to you, I'll take care of you? So I come home Monday, and I've got a message on my phone machine, answering machine, so I answer the message, And it's the coroner's office from Lorain, Ohio, that called and said, we want to let you know that your mother died of a brain aneurysm this morning.
Oh, wow.
So I had to drive back to Lorain, Ohio, and bury my mother.
And this is right after you finished your PhD, and she had seen you get the doctoral degree?
Yeah. I buried her in the same outfit that I bought her to come to my graduation. And it was at that time, too, that I realized, you know, here's a person who lived a whole life. And then you ask yourself, what did I do in my life that matters? And that's the thing I ask myself often, because I think for her, when you know, here's a lady who worked, she was a bill collector. She'd drive up to people's houses and collect bills and do things. She was tough. We lived in a very tough neighborhood. When I went to take her goods, all she had was a little bag, and she had a little gremlin car that had a padlock on the hood because people came and stole batteries out. So she lived in a very tough neighborhood, too. But for her to be able to see me graduate and for her to be able to recognize the value of what she did to touch my life, I think was a fantastic gift for her. I'm so glad that I brought her to my doctorate ceremony. But at the same time, again, for a life-changing experience at that time, when I was there looking at her, or when I was burying her, I thought, this is a lady that sacrificed her life for me, and I need to sacrifice my life for someone else. And then that's when I went and still continued to say, how am I going to go ahead and build a home for kids? And then miracle after miracle happened for me to be able to do that.